on page Samach Zayin. The Alter Rebbe is describing the stages of the Aliyah of a Jew, of that Aliyah on Shabbos and Yontiv, that there are a number of steps. So we're up to the commentary on Samach Zayin in the left-hand column, K'mayshe Kosov Mizayis Oilom and Hamidbar. We read the text last week. Let's read inside now the Peirush. Mizayis Oilom and Hamidbar. What happens on Shabbos and Yontiv? Mizayis Oilom and Hamidbar Kisimreis Oshon Mikuteres Mor Levani Mikol Avkas Rochel. It's the Pazuk in Shir Shirim. Baliyah Zu Shal Bnei Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bizmanei Shabbos V'yom Tovim. This aliyah that takes place on Shabbos and on Yontiv, yesh kama shlovim. There are a number of steps. Ad shezoichem la'agiyah l'simcha amitis b'Hashem. Till a person is able to have simcha amitis, be'emes simcha b'Hashem. Simcha amitis b'Hashem means it's not just that you're happy to have a day off, or that you're happy to have good food, or you're happy to be with your family. All of those are nice things. But simcha amitis b'Hashem. Pratei hashlovim mituarim b'kosuv she'ashir mizayis oilom en hamidbar. The Alter Rebbe shows how the pratim of this aliyah that takes place Shabbos Niyantiv, the pratim are spelled out, or are actually hinted at, in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Peirush Knesset Yisrael Nikra Zois. So Mi Zois Olam en Hamidbar. Who is this one that is rising up from the desert? Mi Zois Olam en Hamidbar. Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, are referred to as Zois. That's one of the many code words for the Shechina and for Knesset Yisrael in the feminine, Zos. Mi Zos Oilom en Hamidbar. Zos is Knesset Yisrael. He Oila, that she has this aliyah, this ascent, she rises. The Shabbos is V'yamim Tovim and Shabbos and Yontif. Min Hamidbar, where does she rise from? From the desert, which we learned means Shem Dvar Magashmi Mashaloi Lashem Hema. From physical things, she rises up from physical things, which is called the desert. Those things are shelo l'Hashem hema, that they are not for God's sake. Shem daimim l'makayim midbar ushmama, that they resemble a desolate place, a desert. V'gam midbar m'loshen dibur, and this also midbar is from m'loshen dibur, speech. V'haynu dvarim b'teilim. That during the week we slip into ways of speaking, into words that are dvar metalim, narishkei, things that we shouldn't talk about. That's also called midbar. So on Shabbos and Yontiv, Mi Zayis, the Jewish people, as Oila, is able to lift herself up. She rises from the midbar, from the desert of dvar gashmiim, of being preoccupied with physical things, and diburim, dvarim b'teilim, words that are b'teilim. V'yayilim hem b'shabbosis ome'adim. V'oz, ba'aliyosom yitoich dvar v'gashmiyim, ashelay l'ashem hema, when the person rises from these physical things that are not for God's sake, hu kesimreis oshon, then this creates like a pillar of smoke, it's like a screen of smoke, a pillar of smoke. Ki kemaisha ashan gashmi savusa humachmesha haesayev davishu hepech tevai. What creates smoke? Smoke is when the fire burns that which is the opposite of its teva. The opposite of its nature, the hainu lechluchis sheish beitzim abseilus neches b'meish, which means when the fire meets up with the moisture that is found in the wood or in the wick, Right? When the fire meets up with that, Sharei Ribui Ha'oshen Hulufi Ribui Ha'lachlucha Sheesh B'davar Ha'hu. Depending upon how much water there is, how much moisture there is in the wood, that is the commotion that's going to be caused, that's going to result in the fight between the fire being misgaber, overcoming the lachlukas, the wetness of the wood, and to the degree that there's a fight between the fire and the water, that will create more smoke. Therefore, when the light of Hashem descends into Knesset Yisrael's lives on Shabbos and Yantiv, it burns away that which is the opposite of that which is the opposite of the Or Hashem, and that is compared to the smoke. Nizais Olam and Hamidbar. That when the Jewish people rise up from the Midbar, so that causes the burning away of the things of the week, of the Gashmias, and of the Diburim B'Teilim, Devarim B'Teilim, Le'kafyu L'achni L'sitra'achra. Where the more smoke there is, the more of a melchama there is between the Or Hashem that descends into Knesset Yisrael on Shabbos and Yantiv, and to the degree that Jew lives in a way which is the hepech, which is the opposite, God forbid, of the Or Hashem, it creates this smoke. L'achnil l'sitracha. Yadu shebechol davar yesh arba yesaidus. We know that in everything in this world there are four basic elements. Eish, ruach, mayim, and ofer. Eish, ruach, mayim, and ofer. Fire, air, water and earth. V'nimtzu shagam b'dover yovesh yesh ezel lachluchis b'soichai. We know that even in something which appears to us to be dry, it has within it some moisture. Ha'oshon shenoitzer misreifas adover, the smoke that is created as a result of burning this thing, it comes from the destruction of the moisture in this thing. Because moisture is the opposite of the heat of the fire, that clash between the two worlds of the fire, which in this case is the light of Hashem, and the lachluchas, the moisture, which in our case here is the lachluchas of gashmias, of physical things that are the opposite of godliness, that creates smoke. The more this is opposed to the Or Hashem, the more moisture, wetness, and coldness there is in something that stands in opposition to God's light, kach yisraba yoyser ha'oshon, the more smoke there is when it's burnt up. The kach beruchnius, and so it is in ruchnius. The eish hi hayislavus shel haneshama. The fire corresponds to the hislavus, to the excitement, the hislavus. The word lahav means a flame, right? Hislavus means a fire. The eish hi hislavus shel haneshama, the fire of the neshama. V'inin ha'oshen beruchnius. What does this mean in Ruchnius? What's the smoke? Mizais Eilam and Hamidbar Kesimrais Ashon. What is the smoke in Ruchnius? Hukashe Eish Ha'ahava Ha'elokis. That's when the fire of the godly love that a Jew has within him, on Shabbos and Yantiv in particular, is Eicheles. It consumes the Seirefis and burns away as Taivais Ha'yetzer, the Taivis of the Yetzahar Shein Hepech Eish Ha'ahava, that are the opposite of the ahava. That's the smoke. Even though during the week the person is consumed by his taivas, the lachlukas, the wetness and the coldness of the taivas, are more powerful than the little spark of the neshama that's able to escape on the 6 days of the week. But Shabbos, the Aliyah of Shabbos is mamish and eish, a lahav eish, and the islahavush of that lahav eish on Shabbos and Yotip, when it confronts the lachluchas, the coldness and the wetness of your taivis, it sizzles it away in smoke. The smoke comes up of those burnt taivis, of the taivis of the person that were so powerful during the week, but now they disappear in this smoke of the fire of the consuming and burning fire of the ahava of the elokus of a Jew for Hashem. You know, it's a big avodah tzaddikim, which when I'm asking, that's why you say this to the wrong people. People see these stories and they make fun. The inyan of k'tayrus by tzaddikim of smoking, which we're not talking now about stam cigarettes, but the tzaddikim had an avodah, you know, from the great tzaddikim, not the Talmid Baal Shem and Svadish tzaddikim. There were Isaac in the inyan, which used to be called k'tayrus, which we're talking about now. With tzaddikim, particularly on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, right before Shabbos. Not talking about people who had any addictions during the week, they're smoking. They're not smoking.
The Heitaka. Yeah, the one now after Avdolah, which is way into the night.
Yeah, his Avdolah is unbelievable.
And he takes a cigarette, sits down there, takes a cigarette.
Yeah. But tzaddikim, Be'ikah used to be before Shabbos, and then they would also after Be'ikah on Friday before Shabbat. The reason it was a whole thing with Bechias, with crying, that they would fill the room with smoke. They would literally fill the room with smoke. But then they were not smoking during the week, but they would literally fill the entire room with smoke before Shabbos.
What kind of smoke?
With smoke or
spices?
No, they were smoking.
Did they have pipes? Sometimes
they used to have, they used to, what?
Sometimes a pipe or a...
Pipes.
They had also more like a cigar.
Yeah, pipes. The original was with a pipe. It used to be the whole, they would walk into the room with smoke, the whole room before Shabbos. Right. After the mikveh, before Kabbalah Shabbos. That's what we're learning. There are kavanas, there are big kavanas in the Torah about it, but as far as just what we're learning now, that's the burning away. That's mizayis olam and hamid, but kisimrayis asha. The smoke that comes, the burning away of the moisture, of the wetness and coldness of the 6 days of the week.
What's the significance of the smoke? Is there, like, is it?
It's a very big Indian, the Ashan, Eilam Shana and Nefesh. Let's go a little bit weiter. It has to do with Ketiris. It has to do with the Anani HaKavod, with the Ananim that were in the Midbar.
Right.
It has to do with the Shechina Kedosha. It's a big Indian. For us, but we're not holding by this, of course, smoking. And it's better not to smoke, Chas Shalom. It's a very, very dangerous, unhealthy thing to smoke. Only people who are either already addicted, Nebuch, or who are, you know, Chas Shalom, get caught up in that taiva. It's a very dangerous thing.
Is Rebbe saying
smoke?
That?
Smoke? No.
No. The clouds. Clouds have some similar, because Rebbe was talking about
clouds
the clouds.
So
clouds.
Yeah. Even though the clouds of the sky, Dafka, consist of moisture.
Right.
So, but in the Sonar Kedoshim, it's a very big Indian, the Oshon by Har Sinai, and the Oshon, and also has the destruction of stone, and there are a lot, it's a very big sugya, the Indian of smoke, like we said last time. But there's smoke, there's fire, and the fire that burns away this world, which was the burning of stone. And also, it's very, very much connected to Kabbalah Shabbos. The Kabbalah Shabbos. But that's what we're talking about. Kabbalah Shabbos. So he says, V'gam hi mekuteris. So it says, Kesimus Asha. And then it says, Mekuteris. Now, mekuteris, steam. V'gam hi mekuteris, kito nikra ashan dak. Kitur, the lashon of ketores, is a thin, finer type of a smoke, the kind that comes when there's steam. K'may oshon hamugmar v'ketores, like incense, and Ketairis. Well, the Reb Dakuzel the Nikra B'Torah B'Shem Oshan, because it's more subtle. It's not called smoke in the Torah. Kim B'Shem Anan. This is the level that's called a cloud. K'mo Shekosov V'Chisa Anan HaKetairis. V'Hainu M'Nei She'Eino Sarif M'Chalef Dorva Ahibuch Mamish. What produces this? This more delicate type and subtle type of a cloud or steam. It's not a fire that's burning away the opposite mamish. There are things in life that are not mamish, prosta, coarse, taivis, and gashmias, all kinds of coarse desires and so on. It's not the hepech from Kedusha, it's not the hepech, the opposite of holiness. When holiness, when the Elokus meets up with anti-holiness, that makes smoke. That's a lot of smoke. When holiness meets up with things that are not the hepech HaKedusha, so then it doesn't make that much of a tumult. It's more subtle. Then the person moves on to the next level. After first fighting with the and rising up, rising up from the dvarim which are the opposite, those things that are mamish opposed to holiness, and the whole going through that time of smoke and burning away the opposite of kedusha, then the person is ready for the next level. And the next level. Then the Jew rises up and he lifts himself up like the ketairis. Shu ashan dak, which is thin, a thin vapor or cloud. Kameoshan hamugmar like the incense. Mine besom shenaisnam al ha'esh shehirecham naidev. The spices that are thrown onto the fire that it should have a good smell. It makes a little bit of smoke. Vakteiris she'ena ella oshan dak, it's very thin. V'fi she'en b'dova hanechas behem lachluchas mamish. When to create that incense, that smoke, that little thin smoke, that's not something which is mamish, moist or wet. It's so the spices are fakir, they're dried out as much as possible, right? The spices that are thrown on this, dried out as much as possible, and it creates a very sweet and thin type of an ocean of smoke. Kimrak ma'at mizair. But now a Jew's already on a higher madrega, so he's burning away even those things that are not the soaking wet taivas. He's already going after those things that are more delicate, that are more subtle. Remember, we're talking about a little bit of Tzolosudis, the Dibur, about the Karach HaDibur. So a person grows up, so there are Diburim that are mamish, that are obscene, that are filthy, that have to, you know, be burned away. It's the Hepech of Kedusha. And then there are Diburim that are just, that are Loi Lashem Hema, words that are not filled with godliness, words that are not spoken in a proper way. And the different madrigas of burning away that which in life which doesn't belong, which obviously by the sreifas chametz, to make a good fire by the sreifas chametz and the beer chametz and to say the hirotzen, that it should be mala oshan, should be kesimres oshan, the burning of the chametz, that that's all connected to what we're doing, the sreifas chametz and the beer chametz. You say the hirotzen. You see, even this year where we say, we don't say the Kol Chamira by the burning of the Chametz, we say the Kol Chamira on Shabbos, right? After you finish the Suda Shachas, then you say the Kol Chamira, the Nusach of Bittul Chametz, you don't say it on Friday. Thursday night we check for the Chametz, we say Kol Chamira after we check. Then on Friday morning we are going to Mitzvah and burn the Chametz. And Shabbos, after we finish eating breakfast and Shalosh Sudas, right? By 10:14, we finish everything. So then afterwards, we whatever crumbs there are, you throw in the toilet, you get rid of, and then we go and we say the nusach of Bir Chametz. Even though normally on Shabbos we refrain from Yehiratzins as much as possible, nevertheless it's brought down on the throne that the Yehiratzin that's printed in the Haggadah and in the Siddur, the Yerotzin after Bir Chometz, one should say even on Shabbos. That's how it's important it is. Not to, even though on Shabbos we generally don't say Tchinas, but the Tchina of the Yerotzin to burn away. Ke'oshan Tichla. That all evil should be burned away and should become like a pillar of smoke. Ke'oshan Tichla. And it talks about the Yetzirah. You look in the Haggadah, that's the Nusach. In the Siddur, that's the Nusach of the Yerotzin. We said on the Minigas, they said on Friday, after you burn the Chometz, there's no Kol Chamir, but you say the Yerotzin. And then to repeat the Yerotzin on Shabbos. So this year we give a double clap to the Yetzirah by saying the Yerotzin twice. Make sure to say it. Yeah.
Is it important to have bread on Shabbos, or if it's too much trouble and you just don't have it and you have matzah or something like this?
Can have matzah.
Matzah on Erev Pesach?
Let's say egg matzah or something.
Don't just say let's say. There's a big difference.
Okay. No,
Matzah on Erev Pesach is a potential deraisa. It's a deraisa. Matzah on Erev Pesach. As far as egg matzahs are concerned, I mean, I don't want to go into halach. It's nice, but and you should. I hope you're reading Hilchos Pesach, right? You should be learning Hilchos Pesach. There are books in English too. There are plenty of things in English. You go to any Jewish bookstore. There's a whole table. How to get ready for Pesach, especially this year. There's a whole table of stuff that you should learn. But Ashkenazim generally do not have egg matzahs on Erev Pesach. And you're an Ashkenazi, so you do not have egg matzahs on Erev Pesach. It's preferable not to. I said that yesterday by Mincha Maariv that Rav Moshe Feinstein allows egg matzahs, and certainly you can give children to have egg matzahs. You certainly can give the kids to have, so they shouldn't. But an adult preferably should save some challah rolls and to eat it over a plastic bag and to throw it into the toilet afterwards, preferably. I'm not saying you can't have egg matzah. You can, only until the zman. I'm only talking about until 10:14. I'm not talking about later in the day. You can't have egg matzahs. But, what? Yeah, but it's preferable for Ashkenazim not to have egg matzahs at all on Erev Pesach. It's preferable not to.
Because it's a big
you get another one of the books on the table, but you have shalashudas right after you have. That's okay. After you have breakfast, right, your suda, you bench, and you take a little bit of a break. You walk around outside a little bit, right? It's in Tavshin Samach Aleph. So then, what about davening?
That's not in the survival kit.
Davening will be early, like 6 o'clock or 6:30, whatever. And then you take a little bit of a break, and you wash again, and you have shalashudas before the zman, and then you get rid of all the chametz, and then later on in the afternoon you should have some peyris, some fruit, and eat the fruit. For also have in mind shalashudas when you eat the fruit. It should be after chatzais. It should be later in the day. It's really not that complicated. They make it to like a big Indian. It's not so complicated to know what to do. But egg matzahs definitely should be reserved for only children or for old people, and it's better not to have egg matzahs.
Wake up early.
You should wake up early every Shabbos. You should get up every Shabbos early. Why should a person sleep on Shabbos?
You have to that day in order to have the suda. You're saying you have to get up early.
Everybody this year Erev Pesach, everybody's getting up early.
You have to.
Okay. Yeah, unless you want to eat the suda in your sleep.
What's in your dreams?
Which is not an idea.
You can't skip the suda on Shabbos. You have to eat suda on Shabbos. Okay. Yeah, you have to have three sudas on Shabbos. There's a dinim in Shulchan Aruch. The meals on Shabbos are not optional. A Jew to have three sudas on Shabbos. According to some Rishonim, it's midaraisa, right? So we eat the sudas on Shabbos. You can't skip the meals on Shabbos. And you have to have them on Shabbos. You have to make kiddush and have sudas on Shabbos. So you just have to get up early, and we daven early. Right? I would love to do that every Shabbos. I would daven at 5:30 every Shabbos. It would be gewaldig. I work on Saturdays, but I enjoy it very much. But I would love to daven early Shabbos. That's how it goes. Okay. So that's one should have in mind what we're learning now. You should keep it in mind when you're burning the chametz. It's very much connected to all that we're learning. On the left hand column, b'chein ba'avoda ruchonis degam la'achrei. But I really do mean that everybody should be learning Hilchos Pesach. That's not something that they should leave up to the last minute. Everybody should. There's so many wonderful svarim in Hebrew and English, and that everybody should be learning. You should be learning on your own. Everybody should learn at least an hour a day to be learning Hilchos Pesach. It's not an excuse. There's time to learn Hilchos Pesach, to prepare Hilchos Pesach, and everybody should be learning the Haggadah. to prepare the Divrei Torah, to be able to sit at the table. But you know, Erev Pesach, you know, you grab some English thing and try to see three nice vetlach, which your kid, you know, kids, you know, that's not. You have to prepare for Pesach and Hachanas for Pesach. Every day you should have at least an hour, whenever it is, to grab, to chop an hour, to whenever you can, to prepare the, to learn Hilchas Pesach and to learn the Haggadah. Every year a Jew should learn the Haggadah from beginning to end, to learn the Haggadah, to take a different parish on the Haggadah, whatever you like. And to learn the Haggadah, and to prepare the Haggadah, to be able to give over. I don't mean to give over Vertlach to children, to say over Midrashim, and to explain to the children that they should understand Bez Hashem of their children, and to explain to oneself, to learn the Haggadah properly. V'chein, Ravari Ruchan is the Gamla Achri Shaldam Sarav Abitlas Atayvas Agassas. That's the Vesa of Agassas. Even after the person has already burned and nullified the coarse and trust physical taivas, shame hepecha kedusha legamei, that are the opposite of holiness. A dayin still olav levatel as a taivas adakis. You still have to nullify and get rid of the more subtle and edler kind of taivas that you have, that are not the hepecha kedusha, not the hepecha kedusha, eating too much. So, but everything is kosher. But you know, but you eat, you have a type of things that are not usher, the things that are type of dvarim mutarim, the things that are permitted, but they should be eliminated from the life of a person, that he shouldn't be a bal taiva. Shehem neged hakedusha al kol panim ma'at mizer. These are things that are permitted according to the Torah, but they have in them the qualities and potential and create a certain mindset that are also opposed to becoming holier, even though they're not forbidden. Particularly when it comes to Taiva Sa'achila and the Taiva Vinyonim, even it's permitted between a husband and a wife, that a person should be Mekadish himself in these Vinyonim. As Chazal have said, Kadesh Atzmecha B'mutalach. Those things that are permitted, to be Mekadesh oneself, to make oneself, to bring oneself to higher Madregas of Kedusha. V'ibachinis Mekuteris. This is called Keteris. Mekuteris. V'kol Echad V'Echad L'fi Madregoso U'maylas Nishmoso. Each person, according to his own Madrega, and the level of his soul, has to burn away even these more subtle taivas. Each person according to his madrig. Obviously, that's something that the person has to work on his entire life, and there's no one rule or one klal for these inyanim that are not spelled out as dvarim asurim in Shulchan Aruch, that are not clearly asur, things that are permitted, but a person throughout the course of his life tries to burn the ketaris, the incense of these more subtle areas of life that need to be refined or even eliminated. V'charkach, and after that, this is the process, and after that, yeh bebchinas mor. Right, so it says kisimris misas element of kisimris mekutaris mor over. After this, the person comes to the bechina of mor. Who ha'omer b'megillah begiatar nara nara lover la'melach shekal nitzais yisrael bechinas nukvil la'gabekadosh baruch hu gabekadosh baruch hu la'alas olios var Hashem kol echel lefi madrigasa. So he explains. Achri sheitzliach lisreif levatel es kol tavaisav. After the person, especially we're talking about the Karech of Shabbos and Yontif, after the person has been able to burn away and to nullify all of these taivas, not only the taivas of things that are the opposite of holiness, that are against the Torah, but even those more subtle taivas, gamma taivas adakais, then he can come to the Madrega, yuchalova lebchinas mor lashon merirus. Then he comes to the spice that is called mayer or mor, which means merirus. He could feel true bitterness. Merirus. Al avayda zu shel mor, and this avayda of mor, Nerirus. Nemra be Megillah ubagia tor Esther. I'm sorry, ubagia tor Naaro. Naaro lover lamelach. When it came the turn for each of the girls to appear before the king. So it says, how do you come to the king? Shisha chadoshim b'shemen hamor. The girl first had to spend 6 months immersing in this oil that's called shemen hamor. Perish. Melech, of course, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Zohar. Before a Jew comes to the king is Hashem. The kol nefesh mi Yisrael b'chinas na'ar. And every Jew is called a young maiden, a psula, a virgin. Hamishtakekes la lois v'lover el ha-melech. Every Jew is this na'ara who's longing to be unified with the king, to connect to the king. Hainu lirais bar Hashem, to experience God's light. Kol echad lefi madregasa, each according to his madrega. So they have to, shisha chadoshim, how does one come to the king? Shisha chadoshim b'shemen hamor. It says in the Megillah, 6 months in the oil, in the shemen hamor. So the Rebbe explains, shemen, oil means b'chinas chachma. Oil always means chachma, wisdom, understanding. Lias b'chinas mor, and then the person feels the bitterness through that understanding of how far he is and was from Hashem, and how bitter and how horrible it was for him to be a prisoner of those taivas, either the thick taivas, the smoky taivas, or the thin, more subtle connection to this world. Then through this, now this new understanding, the shaman, a person is able to come to the hamor, to feel the merirus, the bitterness of a life without Hashem.
So they're saying after you cleaned away the other two types, then you have an appreciation? Is that what
they're, and then you can feel the bitterness of how of what it means to be far from Hashem. Kedei lizkais lova lefnei Hashem, in order to merit, in order to be worthy to appear to, before the king, to come to Hashem, Shemen means chachma. What is it that a Jew needs to understand? What does he need to understand, to realize? Liyos bebchinas mor. To realize, to understand how bitter it is. Elias Babchinas Mar, Hainu Lagil de Regish Shel Merirus. To come to a bitterness, a feeling of Merirus, of bitterness. Al Kodav Hamastir Al Or HaKadusha. All things that are hiding, that are concealing, to feel that bitterness about all things that are concealing Kedusha. I saw in a Sefer that the Chofetz Chaim went someplace, he was visiting some town for Shabbos, and he went in the street and he saw somebody Michal Shabbos on the street, a Jew Michal Shabbos. The Chofetz Chaim went to his room and says in the Sefer that the Chofetz Chaim cried for 6 hours. He said that I'm 50 years old at that time and I never in my life saw Chilul Shabbos. 50 years old, he said, I never in my life, it's the first time I saw Chilul Shabbos. So then what happened was that he was in that town for a while, and the following week, the following Shabbos, he saw, again, a Maaseh from Chilul Shabbos. And the Chofetz Chaim was crying. And then he cried and he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm crying because of the Chilul Shabbos, I'm crying because it doesn't hurt me as much as it hurt me last week. What about people like us? Imagine? The Chofetz Chaim is... because it was the second week in a row that he saw Chilul Shabbos. We had to have such a hergish, an unbelievable hergish, for Kedusha, a feeling for holiness, that if there's Chilul Shabbos, the truth is that every single one of us, if we see Chilul Shabbos, we should be crying like the Chofetz Chaim, if we see Chilul Shabbos. We should be crying like the Chofetz Chaim. But a person has to have, that's a problem, is when you're caught in all kinds of taivas, that we're learning about, the person's in all those taivas, and he hasn't burned away those taivas, so there doesn't seem to be anything unnatural about Chilul Shabbos. See, people driving, coming and going, doesn't seem to be anything unnatural. That's because we're so much a part of the taivas that we're not troubled by those things that are the hepech of Kedusha, by the hepech of Kedusha. That's why it's hard for us to relate to tzaddikim who are kanoim, who are very strong and speak out so strongly. And by the Satmar of Schusser Genelainu, Simchas Torah, it happened once in the early years. By the Satmar of Simchas Torah was mamish not from this world. That was his yontif, Simchas Torah. He used to be off. He used to be flying through the air, mamish. So by the Satmar of once on Simchas Torah. So everybody wanted to always see the Simchas Torah of Satmar of. They came from all over. Tzaddikim from others, the rebbes, yeshiva brachim, the litvashi younger life, they used to come. They used to walk from Torah Das to see. I read about it. It was unbelievable. His Simchas Torah, and it happened once that the Satmar of was Simchas Torah, and he was in the Hakafis, and he noticed that the women had pulled the curtain an inch or two aside to see the Hakafis, and the Satmar of stopped, and he said, "Allah vayba, every woman out of the Bis Medrash." Every single woman had to leave. They had to march out the back. Finish. Can you imagine nowadays? think about it. What would happen if this story got out? That means the Satmar Rebbe was. Everybody would say about what they would say. God forbid. Everybody out. All women out. And everybody marched out. And they were upset at that lady that she moved over the thing because then they missed the Hakafis. That was it. By Baba Sali, Schusa Genelainu. It's a Meister Shahaya that I read in the Svanda about the Baba Sali. Baba Sali, they carried him outside to give a bracha. Thousands of chevra came there for a bracha. I don't remember when it was, what was the occasion. Thousands of chevra came to stand outside by his mirpeset, by his balcony, and he was sitting there to give a bracha. And he came, and you know, you ever see the Baba Sali? Anybody, if you ever see the Baba Sali, you buy those. It was not from this. His mom is not from this world. The kedusha, the tahara, was not from this world. The kedusha is A9. So Baba Sali, says in the Sefer, the Baba Sali, he used to sit all the time like this. So Baba Sali was sitting, and he said that he can't give a bracha. He said that over here there are women over here. So there were no women anywhere. Everybody knew you can't go like that. There were no women anywhere. And the Shamas said that Rebbe, there's nobody here. Everything we checked, everything's okay. So Baba Sali said that there are women over here, and they kept on walking, and they walked, and around a half a mile away by a bus stop, there were three women sitting in that line of vision. Now I don't know how far that went, you know, like to what point, but they told the women that were at the bus that the Baba Sali said that, so they ran away from there, and it says that the second that they told them to run away, it was the guys that were up ahead, and the Baba Sali lifted up his eyes and he gave a bracha to the whole island. He gave blessings all of his life to women, but not with them in his presence. It's not that he had anything against women, God forbid. He was married to more than one. What? He didn't look at women. Yeah, it wasn't a question of God forbid not giving a bracha. Yeah, but his eye, he had different eyes than we have. So his eyes, he saw past what we see. But it wasn't a question of giving a bracha. He gave all the time to her. He gave bracha to so many people. They couldn't have children, had old sorrows, he gave all the time, but he didn't look at them. That doesn't have to do.
I understand that, and
Israelites,
I understand that.
Well, the Kalever from Williamsburg never looks at it. The Kalever from Williamsburg, he'll talk, but he'll always look the other way. There are others that are more, if you look at Square Rebbe, he does it more subtly. The Square will always just, it'll be like a drop, a little bit. It's not, but not. These are big, great people, holy people. The Baba Trevi also. They think that the women like to say the Baba Trevi looked him in the eyes. It's not. He never looked at anybody. He looked the men in the eyes. The women, but they were so overwhelmed by him. The Baba Trevi also always, it was always an inch like this, an inch like that. It was never. Only the men who stood in front of the Baba Trevi knew how he would look in the eyes, because then it was like he would fry your brain when he did that. But the women, it was always a drop off. It wasn't the same thing. But he was more direct. It was a drop off. And there are others that the Pusha didn't let. You know, the Am Shnava doesn't let in the room anymore. He used to, but he doesn't let in the room anymore. Different. These are Madragas of Kiddush. We're not masking that. We have to respect that and be in awe of it. And And it had nothing to do with giving brachas. Chas v'shalom. It's not a shaila to give brachas. Yeah, Yanka.
In the 50s, at the 770s, there were never any women puppets. Well, maybe out in the street, but when they started in the sukkah, there was only men. No women.
Yeah. Well, there was no room.
There was no room, but no women would come. And later on, about 3 o'clock in the morning, when the puppets would start dancing in the street, there would be women there.
If the Rebbe did it, the Lubavitch Rebbe, he used to give Fabrangan just for women. It's an unbelievable thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He gave just used to talk to the women. It was a chiddush, mamish. Unbelievable thing, chiddush. And look how he had a hergish, what the generation needed, a very strong hergish. But this is something, we don't have a hasagi of this. Chavos Chaim crying. It's Chil Shabbos, so you put your arm around the Chavos Chaim and say, you know, Rabbi Kagan, you know, this is the world, things like this happen, you know, people don't keep Shabbos, not everybody keeps Shabbos, don't be so upset about it. And you couldn't stop crying. But when you're in the tivus of these things, so then you don't see that it's such a terrible thing. That's what I was talking about the other day. So you get the little bachar, the little bacharet, they're going to be Makar of Jews, and they're spending time with these whatever Chais was. All these different places they go. A guy stands there talking to girls all day, and he says that he's been Makarev them. Vichit Makarev. I don't believe it. Unless you burnt a lot of ketores, and unless you burnt a lot of this stuff to here, then for a young man, certainly I'm not talking about married, but a single, even a married, it's a big nisayon. But if a single guy to stand there, they make. Have advisors and all this narishkeit, and for a single guy to stand there and schmooze with a girl, there's a fire, but it's not the fire that the Tanya's talking about. It's a different kind of fire. But that's part of what we're holding now. Okay. Yeah.
It's probably a stupid question, but we've been learning in Baal HaTanya and this past Friday in Aras HaTshuva, how the whole tachlis of the tzaddik is to be out in the world, to be Makariv Yidden.
Well, we said that, before you finish the call, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there were different tzaddik. There are different tzaddik. Not every tzaddik has that tafkid.
100%. Right. But what I'm trying to understand now is if the tzaddik, which I'm sure is the case, has such a sensitivity to things that are opposite of Kedusha. How is the tzaddik supposed to fulfill his tafkid? Let's say we were talking about Rav Kook going out to the construction site. How does someone like Rav Kook go out to a construction site? Obviously, he was just as sensitive to Kedusha as the Chafetz Chaim.
Sure.
So how does a tzaddik like that live in the world?
In unbelievable pain. That's why they were crying all the time. Rav Kook also. That was the sentence in the Aras HaTshuva that they soivel.
Right. I thought the pain we were saying something else, that really he would love to be in his base marriage listening to Megillus
and
to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank.
Right.
Not have to.
Right. That too. But the pain of being with the Hamoin Am of the construction workers, what the pain of Rav Kook would feel talking to guys like us. That was so far, and a person like that, and yet, that's why it's so unbelievably special, and I find it so touching that the tzaddikim, that the soivel, that the tzaddikim sit for so many hours of their lives, so many hours of their lives. Imagine, somebody was saying to me, somebody said something. There was a guy that I was talking to me about because we were having a discussion about something. I said that you should go to the Square Rabbi, and this guy is a guy that's not learning at all. So he said, "Well, what does he know? What does the Square Rabbi know? He knows about these things, medicine, stuff. So medical." And so besides that, he knows medicine. He's a bucky in medicine. But I said, whatever it is, you have to realize that this is a person that sits. Every night, Kimat, he sits, he's Maisa Nefesh, for hours, for Jews, to give brachas and eitzes. Every night of his life, he sits like that, with Mesirus Nefesh. The hasag of what that means, for these tzaddikim to sit, it's not just a question of being tired. It's a question of having to sit with all kinds of people from all different backgrounds, and they're so subtle, they're so sensitive. You know, there are people that they can't stand. There are people who have allergies. If there's the slightest little bit in the ear, they can. The tzaddikim are unbelievably sensitive to tum, and yet they have to sit with people that have all kinds of inyonim and all kinds of machshavis and involved in all kinds of things and they have to sit and spend time with them, give aitzes to them, and listen to their stories. And it's hard to be masik. What kind of things? What kind of pain that tzaddik feels with that, and how he cries and suffers from that, the connection that he has to the tzibur. That's part of what the Eretz Yisrael was talking about.
So is a person supposed to feel that he shouldn't go see the tzaddik because he's going to cause the tzaddik pain? Because why does the tzaddik have to deal with such a low person? Or does he feel like I'm helping the tzaddik fulfill his conflict because he's existing?
You know what? The best thing is not to think of either of those. The best thing is to think like this.
I always had that problem with it. Like, I go like, should I go to see Ratzimei or not? Because I know like Ratzimei is like, what does he need to see, like, you know, people from Widmer for, like, Baruch Hashem, like, they don't have, like, you know, there's, like, nothing terribly, horribly wrong. I always feel like, what do I need to bother him for, like, this?
You know what, so a person could say the same thing about going to the Beis HaMikdash, to bring a carbon, to go to the Kohen, that the Kohen has to see, you know, what do you have to, I'll get to you in a second, Menachem, what do you have to, what am I going to go to stare this Kohen? And he's like, you know, yes, he's in another world, and I have to go stare him, I have to go bring my fat animal, and my problems, and my sorrows, and leave him alone. You know, there's a meiser from the from a Mattel Chernobyl that I once told. It's a meiser. It's a beautiful story. But the meiser was that there were a group of chassidim that were sitting in a village, and they were big oivdim, and it was Motzei Shabbos. It was very late. They were Motzei Shabbos, and they were trying. You know, they're fabranging, and then finally they said, look, we can't. We just can't get out of this Indian. We don't know how to get ourselves out of this problem that there were whatever in Avoid, out of this taiva, whatever it was. We have to go to the Rebbe, you know? So we have to find the Rebbe. So they didn't have a Rebbe. We have to find the Rebbe. So they knew that Rav Matl Chernobyl was. So they went in the middle of the night. They went to Chernobyl in the middle of the night, and they came there. And of course, there was only one candle that was still burning in Chernobyl. That was Ramatla, and the chassidim bang on the door. This group of chassidim bang on the door, and the tzaddik Ramatla comes to the door, and he opens the door. He sees 5-6 yidden, right? And he says, "Baruch Hashem, you know, this minute, I want you to know, I came to a point in my avodah that I knew that I couldn't go on without talking to other Jews." I couldn't continue unless I would have other Jews to talk to this Avoida. I needed chassidim so I could come to this madrega. I needed chassidim. So the Rav Zevin said, this is the way it used to be, where the chassidim were desperately in need of a Rebbe, and the Rebbe was in desperate need of the chassidim. And afal pi chayim, the tzaddikim suffer from that. But the Avoida of the tzaddik is not our opinion to worry about. It's not. I mean, to be considerate as far as considerations of time and so on with the tzaddik, but not to. That's not the inyan. The Rebbe Shlom taught us that the ikki yeshua of a Jew in this world is to go to a tzaddik amiti and to have aitzes from a tzaddik and to be yelled at and to be given instructions by a tzaddik and the cheshbon of how does the tzaddik deal with that? So that's the tzaddik and the Rebbe Shlom. That's their inyan. But as far as a yid is concerned. But like Rabbi Nachman said, that the bigger the machla, the bigger the doctor you need, right? The more horrible the sickness, you don't go down to a regular doctor, right? You go to a bigger specialist again. So the bigger the machla, the bigger the tzaddik, and that's not our cheshbon how the tzaddik deals with these things. It's not our cheshbon. The tzaddik has to, that's his avoid, that he has to deal with it. The person has to go, and not to be ashamed, but to go, and that's why. There was, you know, I told you to myself when Pichas Karetz davened that nobody should see any chayin in him, and that nobody should go to him, leave him alone, because he couldn't take it anymore. Dealing with the oilam, dealing with the people, you know, that he used to come, Rebbe, my cow's not giving milk. You know, like a Pichas Karetz is sitting there all day listening to some lady coming and asking about my cow doesn't give milk. So by him, you know, a cow means the Rebbe Shlom, and giving milk means Torah. You know, and he has to listen to some lady whose cow's not giving milk. So finally, he couldn't take it anymore. any davened that the Baruch Hashem should take away from him the chayin. But then what happened is that everybody couldn't look at him on the street. Everybody was sick of him. Then they didn't even go to his wife. Nobody, and it was all maisa. And then he realized it wasn't shaykh. And then they wouldn't give him to come into the minyan to daven for the tzibur, to be with the tzibur. You know, Mamashi, he lost everything. Because every Jew is a tzaddik, and so that's why we could be slave of each other, even if you know, because everybody is a tzaddik, and you see the good in somebody. But Pichas Karas has said, David Hashem is about to take away all of his chayim. So he would go into shul, but they would go out from shul. They couldn't daven with him. The Pichas Karas said. And it's a whole mice. And he picked up the grandson. The grandson made a face and started crying, and everything, obviously, didn't work out. So then he davened, okay, I'll talk to the ladies with the cows with the milk. And I spent the rest of his life talking, you know, to have to give eitzes.
The
Menachem Yom Tov.
The
mitzvah
that everyone could have is
a person who guards his mouth, then when he says something, it counts a lot, that's for sure. Then his brachas, are for sure very powerful brachas. Yeah?
I save you a lot of time traveling around the world, getting
brothers. That's the biggest bracha. If a person himself is careful what he says, yeah, you're right.
I heard Rabbi Kron once say that he has an Indian, and he also tells people that you should just even talk to a tzaddik to just even ask, like, what should I be learning? I remember he said when he was younger, he used to just walk up to a tzaddik and ask him, what should I be learning?
He even said you should make up questions.
Yeah, make up questions. Just ask the question.
Yeah. To have a shaykhus, to make some sort of a... Right.
To go.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate.
To go in. Yeah, but still, Aval Pichan and the Tzaddikim said that a person shouldn't be a nudnik, right? You have to have a shaykh as a kesher, just to be a bal seichel. To go seichel, but for sure a person has to... My father told me he heard, my father likes to listen to, you know, Rabbi Reisman from Flatbush, a wonderful man. So my father likes to listen to the tapes. So he said that he heard that Rabbi Reisman said that he was with an Alta Yid somewhere, and they were coming somewhere, and the Alta Yid said to Rabbi Reisman, you go in, for, like it was, the Alta Yid was standing at the door, and the Alta Yid said to Rabbi Reisman, go ahead. So Reisman said, no, you're an older person. So the Alta Yid said to him, no, in America, the rabbi, you can go first. So Rabbi Reisman said to him, but in Europe, the Rav didn't go first. He says, in Europe, he says, the Rabbanim are Tamei Chacham. It's not a kasha. Sure, in Europe, but even here in America, you can go first.
This is somebody who came to Shia regularly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know. My father just told this over to me. He said, even in America, the rabbi should go first. He said, in Europe, it's not a father. We'll continue the petition.